We've been looking at a lot of different things. And we think about Jesus. There's, of course, his earthly ministry. What did Jesus do when he was on the earth? And then we think about his heavenly ministry, what Jesus does while he's in the heavens. Now, here's what we did. We've been on this a couple of weeks, and then we had the service last week and everything. So I want to just remind you that when we saw his heavenly ministry and what he's doing, basically there are three things. We saw him as a groom, we see him as a priest, and we see him as an advocate. And we're going to talk more about that. Last, we saw him as a groom, and that we're the church, the bride of Christ, and he's gone to prepare a place for us. When he gets it ready, he's going to come back and get us. He's coming to the clouds. We're going to go with him. We become the bride of Christ by faith alone and Christ alone. We come to the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting in him, and we have eternal life. So we saw all that, and that's pretty exciting. And then we think about this idea of a priest. Now, let me remind you of something, and then I'm going to go through it fairly quickly because we touched on some of this a couple of weeks ago. When Jesus was on the earth as an earthly priest, he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and he died on the cross as a sacrifice. He was sacrifice and intercessor, and that's what he did. We know he's in heaven now. And what has he done in heaven? And one of the things we brought up a couple of weeks ago was something for you to think about, and that is this. When Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin, he was buried, and where did he go for 3 days and three nights? Where did he go? Heart of the earth. Okay, so what did he do when he was in the heart of the earth? We know from 1 Peter that he actually went to some demons in a place called Tartarus, which is a holding place for some demons, and it went and said that he actually preached to them, which means he gave them some kind of message. We don't know what that message was. If I'm guessing that he's going to say to them, you did not stop the salvation plan. Because that was what some of these angels, the best we can tell, were trying to do was, and that's what Satan would love to do, is stop the salvation plan. So we don't know what he did. But the other question is, what did he do for those 3 days and three nights? Did he stay down there? Did he go into the heavenly places? Because what we're talking about, and we brought it up last time, that when in the heavenly places, Jesus went and to the tabernacle in heaven and poured out his blood. And the question really is, when did he do that? Did he do that in the 3 day and three night period? Did he do it when he walked on the earth for 40 days? Did he do it after he ascended into heaven? There's really no way to know. But we wanted to talk about that part. So let me just remind you about Jesus as the heavenly priest. He offers sacrifices and makes intercession. That's the two things. And we think about a priest, sacrifices cover sin. In the Old Testament, intercession represented man to God. Jesus Christ came as our great high priest. And what did he do? On the earth, in the earthly ministry, he did a sacrifice. He died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. Okay, then he makes intercession for us. He's the way, the truth, and the God, way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God through him. In John 17, we see his prayer for us. But what about heavenly ministry? And this is what we brought about: sacrifice and intercession. And we talked a little bit about the sacrifice. Jesus Christ poured out his blood in the heavenly places. And I just want you to see this. This is really, really incredible. Let's talk about the sacrifice, and we're going to see what he did. Remember that when he was on the earth, he offered the sacrifice to pay for sin, but he did that on the cross. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Look at verse 1. I'm just reviewing some things from last time. I'm not going quite as slow as normal. We'll slow down in just a second. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, the main point of what we've been said is this. Now, this is the writer of Hebrews, and he's telling, here's the key. We have such a high priest, that's Jesus, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Where is Jesus Christ right now? We just said it, that he is in the heavenly places. He is the great high priest, is now in the heavenly place at the right hand of God. Now, he's going to live forever to make intercession for us. We're going to talk about that. But what about this sacrifice? What about what he did? Let's think about the sacrifice. On the earth, he did it once on the cross. In the heaven, he's done it at the heavenly tabernacle. Now, let me remind you of something. Do you remember when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and God took Moses and put him up on the mountain, Mount Sinai? While he was there, he gave Moses the law, but he also did something else for Moses that you may not have realized. He showed Moses a picture of the heavenly tabernacle. There is a place in heaven that's called a tabernacle, or we might call it a temple. He showed Moses what it looked like gave him the pattern, and when Moses came down from the mountain, they formed what we call an earthly tabernacle, which ultimately became the temple. And most of you know that Moses designed it and said, we will build it this way. If you remember, out front, there was this bronze laver where they did the sacrifices. Then there was this place to wash. I mean, bronze sacrificial place, and then the laver which they washed. And then you went in the front room, and there was this table of bread on one side, and this lamp on the other, and this intercessor, this table with incense. And then there was a curtain, and then there was the Ark of the Covenant. Moses designed that on what he saw in the heavenly places. So here's something that you may not have thought about. In heaven, there is a tabernacle that looks like the tabernacle that the Jewish people carried around on the earth that became the temple. And how do we know that? Well, Jesus took his blood after his death and resurrection, or after his death and in between those 3 days and three nights, or whenever, Jesus took his blood and took it to the tabernacle in the heavenly places. That's why we're looking at his sacrifice, okay? We're looking at, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Just turn the page, look at verse 11, and I want you to see this. This is incredible. It's talking about Jesus and all that he did. Verse 11 says this, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, that's Jesus as the great high priest. You remember on the earth, there was a man, Aaron first, and then all of the firstborn sons of Aaron were supposed to be the high priest. They had the job to represent God back, represent man to God. That's what they did. And they also represented God to man. That's their whole plan. Well, Jesus comes as a high priest, as the great high priest. And the high priest on the earth were from what tribe? From what tribe were all the high priest and the and those people from? What were they from? Tribe of Levi. What tribe was Jesus from? He was tribe of Judah. So when Jesus came to the earth as the great high priest, he could not go into the tabernacle, the temple on the earth. He could not go in there. Why not? Why not? Only the who? Only somebody from the tribe of Levi could be a priest, and only somebody from the tribe of Levi could serve in the temple or the tabernacle. So here is Jesus, the creator of everything, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the eternal God. He comes to the earth as a human being, and he's from the tribe of Judah, and he cannot go into the tabernacle or the temple on the earth. It would have broken the what? The law. And if he broke the law, he'd be a what? Sinner. And if he was a sinner, he can't pay for our sins. So Jesus, as a great high priest, cannot offer his blood on the tabernacle on the earth. Remember the tabernacle on the earth? Every year, they took an animal, a bull and a goat, and they killed it, and they took the blood, and they went to the back room, and they poured that blood on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and it was to cover sins. One day, the great high priest is going to take blood, the blood of the Savior, and not cover sin, but pay for sin. Who is that sacrifice? It's Jesus. But Jesus can't do it where? Can't do it on the what? Can't do it on the earth. That's why his sacrifice on the earth was where? On the cross. Now he's in the heavenly places. What's he going to do? Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered, watch, through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle. What tabernacle is greater than the one on the earth? The one where? In the heavens. Watch what he says. He says he entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Which one was made with hands? One on the earth. That is not of this creation. And not through the blood of what? Goats and calves, but through his own blood. What did he do? He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus Christ died on the cross on earth, shed his blood, paid for our sins. As the great high priest, he went into the heavenly places, went into the heavenly tabernacle, came in with blood, not the blood of a bull or a goat or a calf or anything else. He came with what blood? His own blood into the tabernacle, not made with hands, not part of this creation, but he came and he offered his blood. Notice what it says, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, I like what it says. It says, not through the blood of goats and calves, verse 12, but through his own blood he entered the holy place once for all. Now, I want you to see something. The once for all means once for all people for all time. When Jesus Christ shed his blood as the payment for sin on the earth, he died for every human being. When Jesus Christ, as the great high priest, goes into the heavenly place, into the tabernacle in heaven, and pours out his blood, he does it for what? All people for all time. Never again will there need to be a sacrifice for sin. Now, if you've read the Bible and you've started digging through it, you see, especially in the book of Isaiah, that someday there's going to be a temple on this earth during the 1,000-year reign. And they're going to offer sacrifices in the temple. And you might say, wait a minute. I thought all the sacrifices were over. I thought Jesus was the final sacrifice for sin forever. That's exactly right. But most sacrifices weren't for sin. There were some fellowship sacrifices, there were burnt offering sacrifices, there were all kinds of sacrifices. What we find in the millennial kingdom, when the temple is there and there are sacrifices going on, they're not for sin. Why? Because Jesus has offered one sacrifice for all people for all time. That's for sin. So it's an amazing, amazing truth. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. Look at verse 15. For this reason, he's the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place with the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Jesus, as the great high priest, in his heavenly ministry, poured out his blood to redeem mankind. Now, I want to make one point before we go any further. You understand that when Jesus was on the earth, and as an earthly priest, he died on the cross and shed his blood. And he paid for the sins of the whole world. He is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Understand, Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for every sin, for every person, for all time. When he goes into the heavenly places, he goes into a tabernacle that God designed, that Moses copied, and he takes his blood, as blood as the great high priest, and pours it out and obtains eternal redemption. It's the picture of him fulfilling it all, and it is done. That's why on the earth, what did he say? It is finished. Now, here's the question. Is it finished in the heavenly places? I want you to look at chapter 10. Flip over just a few places. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 11. Let me show you this. On the earth, it is finished. In the heavens, guess what? It is finished. Look at chapter 10, verse 11. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Let me ask you a question. Every priest stands daily. What were they offering? Animal sacrifices, which could what? Never what? Never take away sin. Why can't an animal sacrifice take care of sin? Because the blood of an animal can't pay for mankind's what? Sin. The only blood that can pay for a man's sin is what kind of blood? A human being's sin. And you have to be a perfect human. There's only been one. So every priest stands daily offering time after time the same sacrifices would never take away sin. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins, for how long? For all time. What did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. It is finished. For all time, It is for this all time, one time only, it's completed. And he sat down. Why? It is finished. You've heard me say this over and over. On the tabernacle on earth and on the temple on earth, the priest had no place to sit down. There were no chairs in the temple. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. Because the priest stood out front. They waited for people to come. They took all the sacrifices. They offered the sacrifices. They did all these things. And they walked around all day long. And because there was a continual line of people coming, it was never finished. But when Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever, what has he done? What does it say? He what? He sat down. He's through. If you went into the tabernacle in heaven, he's not there working. Where is he? Seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Because he's through with the work. It is finished. Our great high priest offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. Wow, it's amazing. It is amazing. Okay, questions, anything? I just want you to see this. This is the heavenly high priest. He has gone into the tabernacle in heaven and poured out his blood for us. Who accepted the sacrifice? God the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to do what? To die on the cross to pay for sin, to rise again, to send back to heaven, to offer his blood as the final sacrifice for sin forever in the heavenly places. He did it all. He did it all. In his first coming, he comes as the priest to die. In his second coming, he comes as the king to reign. Amazing truth. Okay, any questions, any input about any of this? Okay, remember the priest does two things. He makes a sacrifice and he offers intercession. Let's talk about intercession. You realize that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Okay, what's he doing there? Are they eating? Are they just sitting there? We know that he's gone to do what for us? Prepare a place. He's preparing a place. And is he just sitting there? No. He's making intercession. You realize that he is our go-between. He is the go-between. We come to God the Father through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. I want you to look back at Hebrews chapter 4. Just flip a few pages back, and I want you to see something. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's talk about who he is. Remember, he's our priest, and he's making what for us? Intercession. What does intercession mean? Have you ever said to somebody, hey, listen, I got this big test tomorrow. Will you pray for me? I got this job interview coming. Will you pray for me? Listen, I'm going to go to the doctor. They're going to run some tests. Will you mind praying that they won't find anything? You know, we're asking them to do what for us? Make intercession. Intercession is somebody being the go-between. Who are we praying to when we pray? Who do we pray to when we pray? Jesus taught us, they said, Jesus teaches to pray. He said, pray this way, our Father. Okay, so who are we praying to? God the Father. We're praying in the name of Jesus. See, the right that you have to approach the living God, the only right that you have to approach the living God is through Jesus Christ. He has come, he has died for you, he has paid for your sins, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He is the intercessor. He is the go-between. That's why when we pray and we get to the end of the prayer, we say something like this, in Jesus' name we pray. We're not just telling people that's the end of the prayer. We're telling people that we're telling God, in Jesus' name, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. That's who he is. Look what it says, Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, we do. Who is it? Jesus, who has passed through the heavens. When did he do that? When he died and rose again and walked on the earth for how many days? 40 days. And then what did he do? He ascended into heaven, so he's there. Look, so we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our confession. Let's hold fast to what we believe. Now watch this point. And see, and here's the key. We do not have a high priest who cannot what? sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You understand that when Jesus was on the earth, he's perfect, right? He's never sinned. Was Jesus tempted? Is temptation the same as sin? Can you be tempted and not sin? Was Jesus tempted in all points yet without sin? Listen, sometimes you get tempted, but that doesn't mean you did wrong. You may be tempted to do wrong, but until you do wrong, you've not done wrong. Temptation is not sin. And Jesus can understand everything. Every time you're tempted, every time there's issues, every time things are coming into your life, you can go to who? He says, we don't have this high priest who cannot sympathize. He can sympathize with our weakness. Why? Because he has been tempted in all things, yet without sin. He understands everything. He understands everything. Listen, sometimes things happen in our lives, and we know somebody else that it happened to. And we can go to them and say, listen, this is. I know you went through this. I know you went through this. Tell me what to do. What are you thinking? Okay? All of us have had opportunities like that. You realize that anything you're going through, you can come to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's tempted in all points, yet without sin. He understands everything. Who created you? Jesus did. Who created this world? Jesus did. Does he understand every aspect of everything? Does he know every thought you have? Does he know everything you're going to say? Does he know where you are? Does he know where you would have been if you'd have been somewhere else? He knows every possibility. He knows everything about you. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. He knows every aspect of our lives. And so we don't have this high priest who can't sympathize with us, because he's been tempted in every way. And what can we do? Then look at verse 16. Since all this is true, the response is we come to him. He makes intercession for us. Look at verse 16. Therefore, let's draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find help, find grace to help in the time of need. Some translations say, come boldly to the throne of grace. So you have a high priest that is up there making intercession for you and for me. And he says, listen, draw near with confidence. Come boldly. Did you know that you can call God, what can you call him? You can call him Daddy, because you're a child of God and you can approach him boldly. Why? Because you have who? You have Jesus. You have Jesus. See, Jesus is the greatest. He's everything to us. He became a human being so he could die for us and rise again, so he could conquer death for us. He lives forever, making intercession for us. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's offered himself as a sacrifice and sat down. He's been tempted in every way, so he knows everything that goes on. He knows everything about your life. He knows everything that's happening. And so we can come boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace, remember? It's grace. Everything that he deals with us is grace. You can come boldly. You can say, I'm going right to God with this. Sometimes we wait and think like, I'll do everything I can do, and then at the last resort, I'll pray about it and see what God can do. You should come to him first. Listen, you're not going to believe this, but last week, I'm not going to even tell you what they were. I prayed about four things. I mean, I just went to God. I said, God, would you do this and would you do this? You know, if it was, would you do this and this? And I'm not stopping. Would you do this and you do this? And did you know, in 2 days, all four of those were answered. And they were four biggies for me. I mean, they were big. And I just went, oh, Lord, thank you. I can't, I mean, you just did it. He doesn't have to answer. I mean, he doesn't have to do them that way. He's gonna always do what's best. And sometimes we pray for things and we don't even know what's best. And we're asking for something. And he goes, you don't know it, but that's, you don't need that. Okay. But he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And look what he says. Come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace. That's two great words, mercy and grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We can receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Mercy and grace in the time of need. Do you talk to him every day? When you wake up in the morning, say, thanks for letting me live another day. Because he didn't have to let you live another day. He didn't have to let you be here. He didn't have to let you have, you don't have to have anything. It's his grace that he let you get up and that you come here and we worship together and you have friends and you bring your request to him and you go through life. And I just wanted to read this for you. This is Hebrews 7:25. Listen to what it says. It says, we are able to draw near to God because he always lives to make intercession. He's always there to make intercession for us. So we can draw near because he makes intercession for us. You can come to him anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything. That's why I love this verse right here. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Listen to what he says. Quit being anxious. He actually said, stop being anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer, supplication, intercession, all of that thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. You can go to him anytime, anywhere, anything, anything at all. Because where is he right now? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he lives forever to do what? Make intercession. So as we go through life, we just need to be talking to him. Be anxious for nothing. We bring our prayers, our petition, our praises. We bring it all to him. Okay, we're going to stop because the next one, we've seen the fact that he is our groom, he is our priest, and this third thing is he's our advocate. Now, let me just, I got less than a minute, so here's what I want you to understand. Be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. That's when issues are in your life and you just want to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me on this, do this. What about when you sin? What about when you do wrong? I mean, I know most of you in here have not sinned in a long time. What do we do when we sin? We got an advocate. We got an advocate. When we do wrong, not only Jesus is the intercessor, but the word advocate means defense attorney. We got somebody there who says, bring it to me, I'll take care of you.